When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigs time.
Bigs
with Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station, and of course, a valued friend. And he joins us now as all guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
It's a great question. And I turn it back on you. What is going on?
Well, it's it's chaotic times at House Hall right now, guys. And, you know, I rarely have in season, especially mid season, suggested or promoted the idea of a coaching change. And as we talked about it last Monday, while I was still in Phoenix, I thought it was something Matt Eberflus would take a hard look at with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron after a particularly poor effort against the Cardinals and really, you know, poor start to the season offensively all the way around. And the Bears chose not to. And, you know, you take a step back and you look at it and you say, why do you continue down the path with this offensive coordinator? And they could probably look at it and say, hey, we're 500, which they were. They were 4-4. They had had some pretty good games against lesser competition, Jacksonville and Carolina, where Caleb Williams had played pretty well. You saw signs of progress, and you say, we're headed back home. We've got a weak New England team coming in. Here's an opportunity to get back on track. Well, that weak New England team came in and kicked the Bears all around Soldier Field in a 19-3 game. And it's worse than it was a week ago. And if they were unwilling to consider the move last week, you would think it would be on the table this week. But either way, I won't be surprised at what the outcome is, at what potentially Matt Eberflus has to announce a little bit later on today at House Hall.
So, Brad, that announcement, if it comes, will be later than usual. They moved Matt Eberflus's availability back from 10:45 to noon. Do you read anything into that? And if they do appoint a new play caller, who do you expect that to be?
Yeah, I'm not going to read in too much into schedule changes because, I mean, the reality is their schedule shifts all the time, right? It's going to be at this time on one day, and then it's at another time. So I'm sure some people will wrap their arms around that and rejoice and say that means change is coming. I would just say not so fast. I wouldn't be surprised either way at this point. Because if you're firing the offensive coordinator you hired after last season, 9 games into the year, that's also an indictment of what you've been doing as well. If they do make a change, you would think passing game coordinator Thomas Brown would be the likely in-house candidate. He did a little bit of play calling last season for what was a very messy Carolina Panthers offense. If they want to get wild, and it's the Bears, so we know generally they don't want to get wild, but could it hurt to pick up the phone and call John Gruden down in Florida, right?
Like, whoa.
You could do worse than that. Again, that would be pretty wild, and I don't think the Bears would consider that for a second, but it's at least worth wondering about.
If you're calling John Gruden, it is not to call plays, it is to be your head coach, right?
Well, they got to straighten out they got to get offense going. The defense yesterday, the Patriots had 5 red zone possessions. They got only 1 touchdown. It wasn't a great defensive effort by any. But hey, they started a new streak of holding opponents to 21 points or less. They got that going for them yesterday.
Bigsy, have you run this idea past Roger Goodell?
No, I have not. I've got Roger, and I haven't spoken in a little while, but wow. I said wild.
Wild.
I think Thomas Brown would be the guy, but you've at least who do they know? What connections do they have that they consider to be sharp offensive minds that are not in the building? Right? What resources could potentially be available to them? I mean, that's stuff that they. You would hope had been at least considering before this morning or late yesterday afternoon, but they've got a crisis. Listen, they've scored 27 points in the last 3 games. Let me give you in the last 21 seasons the previous 3 examples of the Bears scoring 27 points or less in a 3-game stretch. It happened in 2011. When Jay Cutler was out with a broken thumb and was replaced by Caleb Haney. It happened twice in 2004, the first time with Jonathan Quinn at the helm and the second time with Chad Hutchinson as the starting quarterback.
Wow.
That's the depth of dysfunction that this team is at right now. And that 2004 team, I'm not going to be a guy that's sitting here providing a list of excuses for Terry Shea, who was in completely over his head as the offensive coordinator. But my goodness, they didn't have skill position talent to prop up any of the quarterbacks that they rolled out that season. Craig Krenzel being another guy that got a shot. 2011, they didn't have near the skill position talent for Caleb Haney that they've got right now. It's what makes their ongoing struggles so indictable. They're terrible on first down. They're terrible on third down. They cannot get explosive plays. Their second most explosive play yesterday was a roughing the passer penalty when the game was basically already decided. There's a lot to sort through. I don't know to what level you can fix any of this. With 8 games to remaining in the season, and their divisional opponents, Packers, Vikings, Lions, up next in that order, are going to show no mercy.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Does Gruden have a personal offensive line vineyard down there in Florida?
Yeah, boy. Can he bring some of those monsters that he had when he was with the Raiders the first time? Heck, even the Raiders the last time. I mean, that They got run all over by some of those big guys. Yeah, that's an issue here. Only having seven linemen to dress for the game yesterday, and then Tevin Jenkins once again leaves the game with an injury. He was in a walking boot after the game. I'll give him credit. He's been able to start every game this season, but it just seems like almost every other week he comes out of the game prematurely with an injury. And you know, for a depleted unit, that's just another trouble spot and problem.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you look at Caleb Williams, Brad, how much danger are they in him becoming the latest version of David Carr because of the path that he's on and the abuse that he's taking and punishment, really, that he's absorbing? I wonder if a new play caller, if they do go that route, will take some measures to take more responsibility out of his hands, not give him as much at the line of scrimmage maybe to process or consider, and maybe move the pocket and maybe run the football a little bit more, because they can't continue to drop back deep in a pocket that collapses so quickly.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday's a little bit abnormal because both the offensive tackles missed the game, and I think the hope is that Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright will be back to play against Green Bay this coming week. But the line hasn't been great with those guys out there, and they've got to find ways to improve. Certainly, you would think any new hire would prioritize protecting the quarterback and running the football.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is, because their problems.
Right. I mean, you can a guy and bring a new guy in, and there's going to be rejoice and hey, the Bears know what to do. I don't know that
you actually get better.
Right. I don't confuse activity for achievement, as former general manager Jerry Angelo once said. So, but I think something's warranted. Eberflus is in a desperate situation, and that likely calls for desperate measures. One would think. I mean, they're 4-5. We've seen Bears seasons in tatters and disarray before, guys, and usually the record is considerably worse than it is right now. Now they could be headed toward that. If you look at the remaining schedule, and one thing I wrote this morning is that, you know, I think a lot of the expectations for this team were completely out of whack during the off season, before the season started, but it was certainly reasonable to expect them to be improved off a 7-10 season from a year ago. Good luck finding me four more wins on the remaining schedule. That is going to be a difficult achievement for this team. That is a tough ask right now for the way they're playing and the opponents that they have lined up waiting for them.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Speaking of general managers, Brad, how long before the scrutiny shifts from obviously Matt Eberflus and the head coaching situation, which we think will take care of itself, to Ryan Poles and the roster that he put together that was so weak at the offensive line position?
Listen, until they get better up front, it's valid criticism. And they haven't been good enough. And they're going to need to rebuild that thing. He was in Kansas City when the Chiefs got overrun up front by Tampa Bay in Super Bowl 55. And Kansas City had both its starting offensive tackles out of that game and some other injuries up front. And what did the Chiefs do? They went into the offseason and that was their almost sole focus. They brought in four new starters. They signed Joe Tooney in free agency to a huge contract. They traded for Orlando Brown. They drafted Creed Humphrey at center. And they got a guard in the sixth round by the name of Trey Smith. Might not be a household name, probably isn't. Will likely get a contract north of $20 million a season in the upcoming offseason, provided he doesn't play on the franchise tag in Kansas City. So the Chiefs went out and completely rebuilt the protection for Patrick Mahomes. It's totally fair to criticize their shortcomings on the offensive line. You go back to free agency, and it was a great spot for the Bears. They were loaded with salary cap space. There just wasn't a lot down at the offensive line store to get excited about. There were more guys out there that you looked at them and you said, well, they go out and sign this guy and he can help. But you looked at him and you said, well, this could be like Nate Davis all over again, where you're overpaying for a guy who's not going to come near giving you the performance, the bang for the buck. It was a bad year to be in free agency needing offensive linemen. The supply did not meet the demand. In the draft, would have been incredible had they been able to get West Virginia center Zach Frazier. Fantastic player. Went in the middle of round two to the Steelers. The Bears were without a second-round pick because of the Montez Sweat trade, which I think everybody agrees the Sweat trade was a good move and has helped the football team in a significant way. They've got draft capital this year. They've got that pick coming from Carolina. They've got their own first, their own second. I think it's, talking to people early on, it's going to be a good draft for linemen. But Ed Poles has got to take criticism for the group that they've got out there right now because it hasn't been adequate. The quarterback's been hit too much. The sack total is out of whack, and they're paying the price.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. And really, we had talked a lot about how they have to be quarterback-centric, right? They've drafted this kid, and you know, you moved him along, and you made him a captain, and you've done everything to hand over the keys to the franchise, but he's in peril. You've got to protect him. You got to figure out. And I mean, you know, I saw Tyson Bagent warming up. I understand they're down two touchdowns and two extra points. I mean, I get it, but or two
possession
point
game. Yeah.
Conversions. But I mean, the kid got sacked 9 times. You can't do it. You just can't let that happen, especially with how beaten up they are, and they've got to start putting his concerns first.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots had like 8 sacks in the previous 6 games combined. Yeah. The Patriots have been so inept rushing the quarterback that they went out and claimed on waivers Yannick Ngakoue the other day. So they haven't been able to rush the quarterback, and then they suddenly play the Bears, it's like a party in the backfield for them. So that's a huge concern. It's got to be a key talking point in the building today. I'm sure it was near the top of the order of business this morning. And again, in an unusual situation with both starting offensive tackles out, but they haven't been good enough with those guys in the lineup either, and it's all of them. It's the linemen. It's the receivers. We heard him talk about having route discipline. It's Caleb. Like, in the first half, there were certainly opportunities where there were some sacks where the ball needed to come out. And it would have been reasonable to expect the ball to come out in a handful of those situations. So that nine number, which is the second most the Bears have allowed in a game, first time they've hit that number since Justin Fields' first start in 2021 at Cleveland, probably should have been an ugly number that looked like six or even five. But it is what it is, and they're struggling in every conceivable way offensively. And I thought that the run defense, which we talked about at length, was a fair question, was okay yesterday, that they did a decent job. They hold up in the red zone, but just had no punchback. And you get the really nice punt return from DeAndre Carter to open things up there in the first quarter. You're set up for business at midfield. And, you know, it's just familiar first quarter woes. Can't get anything going. And just abysmal on third down. Oh, 1 for 14. The shortest they had was a 3rd and 3 because they were behind the sticks the whole way. How do you get really bad on third down? Well, it generally starts with you're terrible on first down, which they were. I think they averaged like 3-some-odd yards a play on first down. So it was just bad all the way around.
Quickly, Brad, Olin Kruse alluded to something I wanted to get your opinion on. Second series of the second half, 3 straight passes to Cole Kmet. Olin suggested that was on purpose, that was intentional, that Caleb Williams might have been trying to do something to prove a point, or maybe it was Shane Waldron calling those pass plays. Was there anything more than those were just the plays that they wanted to execute? Was there anything more to that in your view?
I don't know if there was more to that. You know, Kmet wasn't targeted in the first half. He had one target in the previous two games. Cole's just one of the skill position guys that they're not getting involved with. DJ Moore. Six games this year has had 36 yards receiving or less. Keenan Allen hasn't had a 50-yard game. Like, and Cole's probably the most obvious one that stands out right now as in terms of a quality player that just isn't seeing the ball. It's all the way around. Was there something intentional to that? I don't know. But I do know this. Cole's not getting the ball enough. DJ isn't. They're not getting the ball in situations where they can make plays after the catch and be a threat. They've got talent that if you get the ball in their hands, you feel good about the Bears' matchups, right? You know, the Patriots' defense, Christian Gonzalez is a really nice second-year cornerback. The rest of those guys on defense, you'll get them, Bears should be pretty good here. And it was the opposite. They were pretty bad.
Thank you, Big Z. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.